you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the fuck up.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Believe You Me podcast. Don't worry, it's not only me. We have got Harrington, we have got Brian, but we've also got the one, the only, Darren Till, the gorilla. What is going on, Darren? Looking like you're coming at us straight from the Death Star, looking like fucking Darth Vader. Wait, they got no lights in Liverpool this time of year.
I'm in my car as usual, mate. I'm always in the car.
Going through McDonald's. McDonald's drive through, is it?
Always ducking and diving. You know the score, mate. Come on.
Of course, mate. How are you keeping, Darren? Thanks for joining us, by the way. I appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. I think this is my first interview since my last fight, Mike, right?
Yeah, I believe so. And as I say, when I was texting you earlier, I'm like, I don't want to dwell on it because nobody wants to fucking dwell on losses, but they are part of the sport.
Of course. I told you, mate, I don't shy away from no question. No,
back. Are you there? Yeah, you just froze up for a minute. I didn't know if it was me or my Wi-Fi or you. No, listen, I was just saying, nobody wants to dwell on losses. Nobody wants to talk about that. Do you know what I'm saying? Of course. But unfortunately, it is part of the sport. Before we get into some more stuff, Darren, I guess we'll just fucking talk about it. Obviously a tough loss for you against Brunson.
Yeah, very tough.
And I appreciate you taking the time, Darren. And we'll get this out of the way and then we'll have a laugh. But how are you doing since then?
I'm good, mate. As you know, I stayed in Vegas after the fight, Mike. I just wanted to know, have a little bit of alone time and a little bit of a different change of scenery and, train in different circumstances. But, mate, I'm good. Listen, losses are part of life and you'd have to take them losses. And, that was a tough loss to take. No disrespect to Derek. You know, he was the better man on the night. But it was a tough loss to I know I can win that fight easily, you know, on my best day. And, that's just it, mate, you know. And I know it sounds so cliche, but what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And it's all these things, mate. They're just aligning for a better thing for me. And, I enjoyed the setbacks. And this is another setback. And I don't want to have another setback ever again in my MMA career, you know.
Well, it's all part of the journey, Darren. You know, and again, that's like a cliched thing to say, but it really is. It's all part of the journey. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's great. Everyone wants to come in and maybe do what Conor did or what Israel Adesanya did. Of course, that's the fucking the dream scenario. But guys like me, guys like you, it hasn't gone that way. But you don't fucking give up, you know. Mm. And we spoke afterwards. We're not going to dwell on it. But also, you went in there with a partially torn ACL. Is that correct?
I can no confirm or deny, Mike. I'm sorry.
All right.
whatever I say doesn't change the outcome of the fight, and I don't want to. Mike, you know me as a man. I don't. We're not. We're close friends now as well, Mike. And I'm not that guy. You know, I'm not that guy. I'm not going to dampen anyone's win over me or anything like that. And as you've just said, you've just put it brilliantly there about, like, you know, paths, and I feel like me and you were going to have this. Well, you had your path, and I'm going to have the very same path. And I know what I am, and I know what fighter I am, and I know I'm one of the fucking best fighters out there, mate. I know I'm one of the best strikers out there, have proved it, and I'm going to be one of the best fighters ever. I know that, mate, and I've just got to, you know, not even work harder. I've just got to work a little bit smarter and stuff like that. But I'm never going to sit here, Mike, and say, I lost the fight because of this or because of that.
And I respect that. And I believe that everyone listening to you will respect that. But that was the fact, though. You were hurt. And even still, you don't want to harp on that. So God bless you. Staying out in the States in Vegas. So what were you there? 4 or 5 weeks? Something like that?
No, I was there for 3 months.
Was it 3 months? And I never came to fucking see you once.
Well, it's all right because I went straight after the fight. You don't know this, but I do. I seen you trying on suits and sacks.
What a bellend. And you never came over and said hello.
You were screaming at the fella, so I thought, oh, I'm not going over there.
I was screaming at the fella. You're a dickhead. No, I wasn't. Oh, my God. Well, there's me feeling bad, and you fucking bump into me in a shopping mall and don't even think to come over and say, hello, Mike, how are you, mate?
No, because I remember going past and I heard you saying something like, do you not know who I am? I'm Mike Bisping.
Well, fuck you. Listen, if you're going to take the piss out of me, Darren, don't fucking start with me, sunshine.
I can't beat you in that contest, mate.
Oh, fucking hell. So, yeah. But what was the plan, though, Darren? Just stick around there, just work with some different coaches, get some different looks? Or was it just more about, with respect, burying your head in the sand a little bit?
No. I've buried my head in the past, but it was just a matter of taking full advantage of the facilities the UFC provider. Spoke to Dana quite a lot while I was over there in Hunter. I had a few meetings with Hunter. And, mate, the facilities are just unbelievable. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to take a little bit of advantage of this. All this free stuff, free food, fucking nutrition advice. So I stayed there. I'd done a lot of rehab work on a lot of, like injuries, you know, like me. I remember I broke my collarbone, and so I worked on that. I obviously worked on like my knees and my shoulders and stuff like that. So, mate, I got great work out there, and then I ended up training at one of the gyms there. I spoke to my coach Colin back here. I was like, I'm gonna go to one of the MMA gyms and see what's like. Syndicate MMA, John Woods, and that was brilliant atmosphere. They took me in like the family, a lot of good guys. They got some good sparring and that. So, you know what, mate, I had a good 3 months on here. I just lived a little bit of a different life. Obviously, it was tough on my girlfriend and the kids. You know, I missed the kids like mad. Like, it's funny, you see guys sometimes, oh, I'm leaving my kids for a week, and I was thinking, fucking hell, mate, I've left my kids for 3 months. And so it was tough, but, you know, mate, I enjoyed every minute of it, and now I'm back, and, you know, the future, I know my future looks very, very bright.
It does look bright. I told you that immediately after the fight. And of course, whenever you're saying things like that, it sounds like a pep talk. You know what I mean? But the reality is, Darren, you're there, you know, with the best fighters in the world. I mean, look at your last one. Was it Whittaker before Brunson? I mean, Whittaker, that was fucking razor close, man. You know?
And you know what, Mike? Just to, sorry to cut in.
No, you're good.
I never watched the Whittaker fight a lot, but, you know, like, I've studied it since because I've had a lot of, like, mate, if you're a fan watching that fight, I'm a fan watching myself fight. It was a fucking phenomenal fight. And literally, I lost the fight on one takedown. And in my opinion right now, Whittaker's probably the fucking best middleweight, one of the best. It's just like, I know where I'm at, Mike. Do you know what I mean? And you know where I'm at. And people who know where I'm at. And that's it, mate. You know, all the haters will soon turn into fans. And we all know that, mate. You know, it's just the way that this game goes, pal.
The fickle... You know, the fan base, you win one, they jump on board, you win again, then they're back on, they're like, Darren's the fucking man, you know. was part of the time out there in Vegas working on some takedown defense and things like that, or was it literally just enjoy the facilities? Because you're right, the PI and all that is fucking incredible. A lot of fighters now, they base themselves in Las Vegas because, as you said, they get all that support for free. They get the nutrition, they get the physio, they get all that stuff with Heather. The work they do at the PI and the facilities, Heather, it's beautiful.
Heather, just a big shout out to Heather first and foremost. Heather and
Bob. She's amazing.
But you know what? She is as well, Mike, right? She gets paid to do this shit, but she's very selfless with it. Like, she's there for you, and like, she was really there for me, and she's a great human being. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sorry, mate. It's just,
no, you're good, mate. You're good.
She's very selfless, but with all due respect, Mike, right, to gyms and to America and to people, in a sense, I think I've got right now in the middleweight division the second highest rate takedown defense. I'm not in this mindset of like, oh, now I need to work wrestling, mate. I know how good me takedown defense is. If anyone's ever watched a fight of mine before Derek Brunson, watch it. Guys take me down and I bounce back up. Well, Robert Whittaker, everyone knows in that fight, I had a torn MCL from when he kicked me. He took me down twice in the fifth round and I bounced back up. People do not hold me down. Derek did hold me down. Props to him. But I'm sorry, mate.
No, you're absolutely right, Darren, because that was never something that I looked at and thought there's a weakness for Darren. It was never like that. But for Derek Brunson, that's his strength. That's what he does. And he was able to capitalize. It's like saying if you land a punch on Darren, on Derek, he's going to go away and figure out how to fucking strike. It's a fight game. People go in there with set game plans. He knew you're a fucking dangerous guy on the feet, so the game plan was to take you down. You know, hey, it was his fucking night. I heard you were trying to fight, what's his face, Jared Cannonier. That's what I heard. You were trying to jump in there real quick.
You know everything, you don't you, Mike? You're mad.
Mate. Come on, Darren. Let's go.
Mate, listen, the UFC, they've said to me, Darren, we're with you, mate. We know what your potential is. You know, we're fucking this, that, the other. We really love you as well. You're always there for us. You'll fight anyone, anytime. You're always, you're a man of the company. And I said, of course. I said, but they were like, so who do you want to fight? I said, well, Jared Cannonier is a good one. And they're like, oh, really, Jared already? I was like, yeah, of course. But there was a few options they threw out to me. And one fighter I really liked was Sean Strickland. They offered him as well. And I actually said to Sean, because I've seen him a few times, UFC, I said, Sean, if you want to get it on or something at some point, mate, let's do it. Because I think you're a good fighter. I think it'd be a good fight. So, listen, mate, still fighting the top, Mike, and that's how it is, mate. We're just fucking grinding. That's all we're doing. Just grinding, mate. That's all I'm
just
doing.
Just grinding. That's how it goes.
I'll tell you one thing, mate. The fucking accent out in America, they love it, don't they? Like, it's the like, what the fuck? Oh, say mate. That again. It's mad.
Yeah.
You've had to change yours a lot.
Well, yeah, of course I did. So I mean, I fucking commentate now. When I started on The Ultimate Fighter, they used to subtitle me. Do you know what I mean?
I remember, yeah.
So I've changed. When I'm in America, I talk a little bit more different. You know what I mean? Because I have to be understood, because you just get fucking sick of repeating yourself time after time. But when I came here, you know where I'm from. Like, I'm a woolly back to you. Do you know what I mean? Nobody fucking aspires to have my accent back home in England. No one says I want to speak like I'm from Clitheroe. But I come out here to America and everyone's like, oh my God, you could literally say anything, man. It sounds fucking amazing. And when I heard that, I'm like, that's it. I'm fucking staying.
Yeah.
So what was I going to say? So, all right, Jared Cannonier. Whatever, forget about that. Sean Strickland, that'd be fucking awesome. The shit talk would be incredible. I'm assuming the comeback is targeted to start in March, potentially in London, if that card comes together.
Yes, hopefully a good solid card there. Main event, obviously, we'll have all our guys on from Carbon and all the other guys from Liverpool and all around the UK, Ireland, and Europe. So I think that's going to be a good card, mate. That's what it's looking like, Mike. But we'll see, mate. Listen.
Yeah.
What the fuck are the police doing here?
Oh, God. Darren, no. Are they circling you?
They've just come up. Yeah. They're just coming back down. I get paranoid every time I see police.
Well, listen, I get paranoid every time I see you whip out your fucking cell phone. Because when we're in New York, Brian, if you want to edit this bit in later, when we're in fucking New York and we're walking down the street and I've robbed the Stella out the boozer and I'm smashed and you fucking film it and I'm waffling nonsense. Everything is for fucking like social that. Media, Darren.
And if you don't like that, come and see me. And I'm like, oh.
Mate, I saw that.
Did you cringe?
Oh, I cringed like fuck. The next day when you posted that, I'm like, oh, you little bastard.
You text me, you fucking cunt, Aaron. You know what, mate? To be fair, we had a fucking good night, though, didn't we? We had a brat.
Oh, we did, mate. It was a good, honest, wholesome time, with a few beers. Bit of a sore head the next day, but great set of lads, with the whole BT Sport team there as well. They were fucking awesome.
Yeah, phenomenal.
All right, listen, we're going to steal you for another 10 minutes. Is that okay? We're going to ask you about current stuff in the world of mixed martial arts.
Of course, yeah.
All right, Darren, you're the man. Sorry, what was your girlfriend's name again?
Laura.
Laura. Sorry, Laura. 10 more minutes, Laura. I apologize. All right, today's episode is brought to you by Sheath Underwear. Sheath Underwear offers incredibly comfortable underwear that is especially useful heading into fall and winter. Listen, we've all been there. Boxers that bunch up, they get sweaty, they leave your man parts uncomfortable and sticky. Well, with Sheath Underwear, you can completely keep everything cool and separated. You can wear Sheath as normal briefs, or you can utilize the latest in men's brief technology, the dual pouch, which gives your wiener its very own place to call its own. Kind of like Mike Harrington. He has a place to call its own these days. Your wiener can be like Harrington. That sounds weird. No more readjusting to avoid those sweaty moments. Listen, you know, Sheath underwear are fantastic. They've got great designs. They fit well. They're very, very comfortable. And of course, if you want to separate the Frank and beans, then you can do that as well. They've also got new materials like the mesh and the bamboo. So if you're treating BJJ, they've also got a full base layer. So listen, you're going to need underwear. Okay. If you are a sweaty, horrible individual, then this ad read doesn't apply to you. But if, like a normal person, you want to buy some nice new underwear, you want some good stuff, you want some stuff that fits well, that when you strip down, your opposite or significant other says, like those underwear, you're looking good. Wow, what is that? Moisture wicking fabrics, incredible. A separating jewel pouch for your penis, my word, it's going to blow everyone away. You need new underwear, so support the show and support Sheath Underwear by going to sheathunderwear.com. Use the code BELIEVE20. You're going to get 20% off your order. Listen, Sheath Underwear, love them, fantastic. Supported this show for a long time. Next time you buy underwear, buy them from Sheath. You will not regret it. Sheathunderwear.com, sheathunderwear.com, BELIEVE20, 20% off. All right, where were we? Harrington, show yourself, my friend.
What's going on, Mike? How you doing, Darren?
Hello.
This is Herringbone. Right. So he's going to tee us up on a few little topics. I already know what they are, but go ahead. And then we have a video question for you from one of the fans, Darren, if you don't mind. So thank you for your time. Harrington, what have you got for us, buddy?
Okay, so Triller, their latest combat invention is Triad Combat. It's going to feature a triangle ring, and the pitch for this one is it's leveling the field between boxing and MMA. They're going to use 8-ounce hybrid gloves. They're going to allow spinning back fist, punches from the clinch, and Superman punches. Guys, what do you think about this? November 27th.
Darren.
I'm not a fan of that, Mike.
Utter fucking nonsense.
Yeah, listen, one thing I will say is I'm not as big a hater as everyone else is on about the Jake Paul thing. At first I was like, oh, whatever.
Same.
But he seems to be training hard. He can actually fight. And I really, even though I'm a good friend with Tyson Fury and I know of Tommy, I really do think he's gonna give Tommy a hard fight. So I'm not a thing of that, but just the whole other thing. Like, I understand the entertainment side, and so do you, Mike. That's why me and you are such big names, because of that. But there's a certain fine line between entertainment and just downright mockery. And I just think what Zilla are doing and all this fucking big robots and that shit, that just doesn't fly with me, mate. And I know you're the same, Mike.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Actually, Jake Paul, I used to talk a lot of shit, but he's actually turned me around. Hey, God bless him. He's putting in the work. You can't hate on that. There's no prerequisite that you got to come from a fucking tough background to be a professional fighter. And he's got money in the bank and he's still doing it. So I respect that. This has got nothing to do with Jake Paul, though, because he's got to Showtime. But it's the triangle ring. That's ridiculous. Because imagine a big guy. You corner them. Look at that. All you're going to do is get the fucker in the corner and they're going nowhere. Do you know what I mean? How do you escape
that? The ring, is it? Yeah. That's the ring. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, imagine you just back them in a corner. There's no way of escaping. You just smash the fuck out.
Well, and if you know how to do a proper spinning back fist, mate, you just have them in that corner throwing them.
Yeah. Harrington, do we know who's fighting on that card?
So the main event is going to be Frank Mir versus former IBF champion. Mike Perry's on the card. I'm not even going to try these names, dude. These names
your mate,
tough.
Mike Perry. Maybe you guys can go for a spa, Darren.
Oh, a spa? Oh, you mean a spa? Yeah. Okay.
That was fucking hilarious.
Do you know what? I seen Frank Mir at Syndicate. Actually, he's a fucking nice guy.
Great guy.
So, do you know the only problem, Mike? Right, and I don't like coming out and saying this shit because I feel like everyone else says it and they're having a dig at Dane, and I'm not having a dig at Dane. I just feel like it's a little bit sad when you see fighters after the career and they've still got to like fight, because obviously they're probably trying to do it for money and shit. And You know, I don't know what kind of decisions they're making in life while they're fighting. Listen, I've been there, I've done it, and you have obviously. So, you know, you spend a lot of money when you make it, and you're like, oh my God, it's going to last forever. It doesn't. That's why I just think, I don't know, is it the fighter's fault? Is it not? Are we getting paid, underpaid? Are we getting overpaid? Like, are you making smart investments? You know, you've got to make smart investments as well, mate, and good business choices. And me and you both know what we're doing right, and, you know.
100%, Darren. And the thing is, listen, I would love every fighter that puts on a pair of gloves and steps in there professionally to be set for life. And I'm not being pro UFC. Of course, I'm a fan of Dana. Dana's been great to me over the years. He's been a good friend as well. People, you know, anyone that talks shit, they don't know him. He's a businessman. You know what I mean? But on a personal level, he's been fucking great to me. Not everyone that puts on a pair of gloves as a professional is going to be set for life. And I agree with you. It is sad sometimes, and maybe that's a strong word, but to see fighters having to lower themselves and still trying to make money. But the reality is, you know, It's you know, not everyone is going to be set for life. You know, it is a tough road being a professional fighter. And as you say, the money starts coming in. Maybe they don't spend it well. They get a little carried away. They think it's going to last forever, you know. And, yeah, it is sometimes regrettable seeing fighters go on too long. But unfortunately, that's kind of – it kind of comes with the territory almost. Not everyone's going to be a Conor McGregor. I mean, he's a fucking outlier. But, you know, those top few guys, not everyone's going to get to that level. Do you know what I mean? You start at the bottom, you work your way up.
Do you know what as well, Mike? It's like when I was growing up, my favorite fighter ever of all time and always will be was Roy Jones Jr. I think he is the best fighter that ever lived. And other people say it's Mike Tyson, whether it's Mike or Muhammad Ali or whatever. I don't like seeing Roy Jones Jr. and Mike Tyson putting back on gloves to fight whoever they're going to fight. And to me, it's just so taken on. It's like you now, Mike. Let's say in 5 years' time, you're like, mate, I'm coming back to the UFC. I want to make another one. It's like, Mike, come on, mate.
Well, no, not exactly. And it would be pitiful. It'd be like, well, we clearly know what's going on here. Everything else has dried up. He's finally got fired from the UFC. The YouTube people have figured out that he doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about. Right?
Yes.
Fucking all the sponsors are like, why are we in business with that dickhead?
Yes.
My wife's left me. I've got a serious drug problem. The alcoholism has gone to the next level. And I'm like, right, I'm coming back and having a fight. Let's go. And they'd be like, no, we're not interested, you one-eyed dickhead. Fuck off.
So but you don't need to do that, Mike. You've made the right choices. You're a smart man and business savvy, etc. And I like to think as myself, I'm gonna learn all that. I'm learning, you know I am as well. And
of course.
I don't know, mate. It is a little bit pitiful when you see guys like I don't want to say it, but Mike Tyson putting on gloves to fight now. What the fuck, man?
Yeah, I do wonder about that, though. Is he doing that because he needs the money, though, or is he doing it because you're right, and Tyson is, come on, he's up there with the biggest, most legendary names you can ever imagine. But is he doing it because he still loves it? Because he might be, because from what I know, and I don't know his bloody financial situation, we do know, obviously, he was swindled by Don King for fucking millions and millions and millions, and he made a ton of money and he squandered it all. But from what I'm led to believe, and of course, you know, reality was probably very different, but with the Tyson Ranch and the marijuana business and the podcast and all that stuff, I think he's doing pretty well.
You'd like to think so, wouldn't you? I don't know, Mike. Would. Sometimes, a lot of the time, it's about the people around you as well, mate. What are they taking? What are they, what are they there for? What's this person here for? Is he here to help me spend money? Here to, do you know what I mean? Like, I actually, mate, not a lot of people know this. I actually own a fucking marijuana thing out in Canada as well, like legalized marijuana. But I invested in it like a few years ago, put a pretty good investment in, and you know, hopefully that's going to give a good return over the years and blah blah blah. But I don't know. I just think it's about the people around you as well.
Well, it's 100% about the people around you. If you've got good people, certainly as fighters, because we put our faith into a lot of people. Managers come on board. They parade as professionals. And sometimes they might be professional. Other times they might be fucking sharks that are just trying to take your money. Darren, you told me, this is just a quick plug for me. You said a while ago that you were involved with a car rental business. I'm coming to England on Sunday. I need a fucking rental car, bro.
My car, it's not a car rental business. The car company I own is actually in Manchester as well. We're just outside. So literally, it's right up your street. Range Rover for you, Sunday, and no problem.
I'm messaging you in fact, after the show.
Shout it out, Mike. Faster Car Finance. Come on.
Faster Car Finance. Darren Till is giving me a Range Rover.
Do you know where it is?
Very kindly.
It's in Warrington, right next to the Hadley. What's the Hadley Stadium, is it called?
No, I'm not sure. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Like Dave Jackson.
Yeah, yeah, I love that guy. Yeah. Fuck him. Yeah, exactly. Harrington, what else you got, buddy? Come on. We're going to steal Darren for another few minutes.
Okay.
What else
we got? Well, Jorge Masvidal made some headlines this week with the interview that he did with Ariel Helwani. One of the biggest things to me that I picked up from it, Malky Cow actually came out and said every time Conor McGregor mentions Jorge Masvidal's name in a tweet, Malky goes right to Dana White and Mick Maynard, says, hey, Conor seems to want this fight. Can we book this? Conor has always said no to that fight. It's the first time I'm hearing of this. Do you guys believe it?
Me first, Mike, yeah.
Yeah, go ahead, mate.
Do you know what, Mike? Do you want me to be totally honest, mate?
Be totally honest.
I don't look at none of this shit and give a shit about none of this shit, mate. Do you know the only thing I will say is I see a lot of managers talking more than fighters, and I think to myself, what's going on? Like, when managers, like, a lot of managers lately just seem to, obviously the main one's Ali, he talks a lot, but sometimes I laugh and sometimes I'm like, oh yeah.
But sometimes he slaps fucking Dylan Danis as well. So he's a legend in my eyes.
Same, mate. I'm mutualized the same thing or whatever. Yeah, he's a legend. He's not. But it's. Did he slap Dylan Danis? Did he? What the fuck?
He did. I was there, but don't say anything. He did. He fucking slapped him hard. You know, like when you want to slap a, you want to punch a guy, but you don't want to be like the police saying that you punched him. I've slapped some people over my years that are fucking like a punch. You give him one of those good ones, you know, with the palm, palm of the hand. Oh yeah, baby. Fuck
what
you,
did Dylan do?
He got thrown out the fucking building.
Wow, fucking hell, mate.
Ali does not mess around.
Who are you putting your hands out to? I'll be fucking out now.
Who's that?
Did he? No, Mike, do you know what, mate? We're going a bit off track. I just don't know why managers are like talking so much. Like, okay, you got Jorge Masvidal there and you got Conor McGregor, right? Okay, you know, you and Conor don't get on and me and Jorge fought. Let the fighters fight, mate. The managers are there to make fights. Like my manager, fucking MTK. Imagine they start getting involved at this. I'd be like, what are you up to, mate? Like, that's just...
Yeah. No, you do bring up a good point. And to be fair to the question, Harrington said, what did he say? He said, do you believe that Conor keeps turning this down? I don't believe the UFC have gone to him with a serious offer. The man is injured right now. Prior to that, he fought Dustin twice in a row, but then it was Khabib. So Masvidal wasn't on the radar. Yeah, they're going back and forth. Maybe they've gone to UFC and said, hey, we'll take him. And they're like, hold on a minute. Because Conor's not fighting anytime soon. Let's be honest. You know, let's look at the reality of the situation.
I don't know what Conor's fucking...
Well, the man broke his leg. Fair enough. You know, yeah, he's out for a bit.
Yeah, of course. I don't know, mate. My thoughts are whatever on that. I don't really give a fuck.
Yeah. Well, I've got nothing against Conor, by the way. It's just that sometimes we go back and forth and have a little bit of beef, but I wish him the best. Harrington, what we got, bud?
Well, Masvidal did say that he would be interested in making a return in February or March. He did say that he was hoping to keep the Leon Edwards pairing, but if not, he'd be interested in that little bitch Colby. Would you guys be interested in seeing that fight?
100%.
I mean, love Colby, love his act, love his fighting style. Striking wise, don't think he's the best striker, but I think he's a phenomenal fighter. I'm a fan.
Have you met Colby, Darren? Do you know him?
I seen Colby one time in MSG, and I just looked at him and said, Mike, I'm the type of guy, right? I'm not into all that pushing and shoving shit, like. And I can't have an argument. I'd rather just smack someone. So, like, I'd never want to do that. I'm in the UFC, but it's like, I just don't get down with all that pushing. I'm like, just entertainment. No. And I just seen him and I just looked at him. We were having a bit of back and forth at the time, but I'd moved up to middleweight. It was when I was fighting Gaslam, and he just looked at me, but I think he smiled because I think he knows that I know. I think he knows I know. He knows I know. It's one of them.
Yeah, like, we're all in on it.
I'm not offended in the slightest of anything that man says. When I've got best friends who call me and my kids for all kinds, there's not another man on this earth who can offend me. So, like, I see past all the act and everything. And do you know what, mate? I fucking think it's absolutely hilarious. Do you know why? Because it upsets so many people. And I just think, wow.
Mate, I'm telling you, that press conference at Madison Square Garden a few weeks ago, he was brilliant. And I mean, fucking, I was sitting there in the crowd like a fan, grinning from ear to ear, loving it. He had everyone on the feet. He had them cheering. He had them booing. He had this mental suit on. But again, as a showman, it looked fucking great. And by
He called John Morgan to be something. I was crying. John Morgan, you know, the interview guy.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, blue shirt, MMA junkie.
He said, you like, he didn't even say, he just called him Toby, mate. I was crying my eyes. Like, he's a funny bastard.
Hey, hey, just on John Morgan, because just real quick, where I have my decks set up upstairs, I have a big picture, and it's I've just won the fight, and my dad's standing in front of the cage and doing this, you know, to me. And I was DJing last night, and I looked up, and I crossed the other side of the cage, and this is 2014. John Morgan is there, front of the press row, with the fucking blue shirt on. Yeah. 7 years ago, man, still rocking the blue shirt.
Do you know the story behind that, why he wears the blue shirt?
No, I have no idea.
It's so his son will recognize him on TV.
Oh, bless.
Yes. Yeah. I like John. He's a good guy. Yeah, but
no,
yeah,
he's great. Oh, yeah. That's nice. I never knew that. I never knew that. All right. Yeah, we won't keep you too much longer. By the way, I think Colby Masvidal, they should do the Ultimate Fighter. They should be coaching.
It's a great fight. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. We'll do one more. Then we got the fan question, and then we'll let you get on with your day. And I appreciate you, Darren, and everyone watching appreciates your time. Thank you very much. Harrington, what else you got, bud?
I mean, this one's pretty awesome. So the Khamzat versus Gilbert Burns fight, right? It's being discussed by everybody. The odds makers came out -110 either side originally, pick 'em fight. The betting public now has bet this so much. Khamzat Chimaev is a 3-1 favorite against Gilbert Burns. Do you guys agree with that? Is this just a hype train? What is going on with this with Khamzat being this crazy of a favorite?
Look, there's a lot of newcomers coming through. And they're making a lot of noise, and I think all of them are great. But Khamzat is the real deal. He's the real deal. He's very good. Is he as good as he thinks he is or people are saying he is? I don't know. Like, is he going to be a world beater? I don't know. Like, I would actually want to get out there and do some training with him or him come to me, whatever, because I want to see what he's like. And, you know, we get along, you know. But
I other than when he pulls a knife out on you.
Yeah, and I'm just like, what are you doing, Khamzat? What are you doing? Well, I'm one of these, though, Mike. I always message all my opponents anyway. I'm like, what? But, yeah, I think he's a legitimate contender. But Gilbert Burns, mate, is a monster. That's a good fight. That's a very good fight. Wow.
It's a real fight as well. Do you know what I mean? Because Gilbert can handle him on the ground. If it goes to the floor, he's got crazy jiu-jitsu. He's dangerous with the hands. And I agree with everything you said, right? There's no way. All right, some of the matchups weren't the best, shall we say, but the last guy was. It's four fights in a row that he's dispatched off with fucking ease. And I don't care. There's still UFC quality fighters. They're still tough fucking guys. They're still guys that you wouldn't fuck with if you weren't a fighter. And he went through them like that.
But this is the problem as well, and as you say, so this is what I hate a lot of people say, oh, well, he only fought this guy. What do you want us to do? Do you want us to put Khamzat or these other guys straight in with the top guys? People have to grow and people have to learn. That's just the way it is. Like, I have no shame in saying when I lived in Brazil, right, my first five fights with the guy outside the pub, yeah, they were no good. I'm a realist, Mike. You know I am. I knew that. Then I went to my coach, Marcelo Brigadeiro, who's one of the most respected Brazilian black belts in Brazil. Luta Livre, sorry. And I said, now I want to level up. I want to fight the best in Brazil. And that's what I've done. And I went through them like a knife through butter until I got to the UFC. And the same thing then. Debut, one, ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. Like, these guys are having one fight and you see people say, oh, you fuck, he never fought no one. Who do you fucking want him to fight? Do you want him to fight? He's fighting in his debut. Khamzat's on his fourth fight. And they're like, the funniest, Khamzat's on his fourth fight, or these other guys on the fourth fight. Oh, he could beat everyone. No, it doesn't work like that, mate. It's like, get to my level now, and then all you do when you're at my level is fight fucking killers. You're fighting killers, bro, every single time. Everyone's a killer. Everyone could kill every single person on the planet. You know, Mike, you were one of these guys. Let Khamzat get to that level first. So now is his first real test in Gilbert Burns, where it's like, right, two phenomenal fighters in Khamzat and Gilbert. Who's going to be the winner?
I have no idea. But I love Gilbert Burns. He's got such a great skill set. As you say, though, that's Hamza stepping in there and stepping up. And if he competes, then you know he's for real. And if he beats Gilbert Burns, then it's fucking title fights pretty soon for him. But Darren, I just want to say, man, what are you trying to do? You're coming after my job as a fucking analyst, because once you cut all the bullshit out and you calm down a bit, this guy knows what he's talking about with mixed martial arts. Jesus Christ.
I'm a realist, Mike, aren't I? Like, I try to just say things exactly how I think they are. No. And I usually think I'm spot on.
And Darren, that's why people appreciate you, and that's why they love you. All right, listen, we've kept you for a while. We do have a fan question that was sent in. So, Brian, do you want to? Is it a video? I believe it's a video, right?
It is a video.
Video.
Yeah, we have a question here from show regular Dallas Singer.
Oh, Dallas Singer. Well, nice one, Dallas.
Pull that up, guys.
Hey, what's up, guys? Dallas and Delilah.
Hi.
Staten Island. As you know, we're huge fans of the show. Got a video question for Darren Till. Darren, what was your favorite Michael Bisping fight growing up, I guess we could say? I know you're going to say you don't have any and fuck Mike, but no, fuck you. Let's hear it. What's your favorite Michael Bisping fight? I usually end these things with a fuck Harrington. Not anymore, baby boys. Harrington, that's my dog. Brian's my guy. Peace.
Yes.
Oh, there we go. I'm sorry, Darren. We did not bring you on for you to nosh me off.
Don't worry, Mike. I was noshing it off in New York. It's all good.
That fortunately didn't make it to social media. Thank God. Go on.
My favorite Michael Bisping moment was when we had a sit-up in London.
I thought you were going to say Kelvin Gastelum.
No,
that would have been good.
Come on, son.
Come on, mate. No, come on.
No, it was Anderson Silva, mate, because that was wow. He fucking even the third round when he tried to do the walk off me, and I remember being in Brazil. I was shouting at the screen. I was like, "No, he fucking never." And then mate, you just beat it. It was sick. Sick.
Nah, no, cheers, mate. Cheers, mate. Sick. Well, anyway, we'll let you go.
Thank you.
What are you doing for the weekend? Any plans?
We have a wedding tomorrow, right?
Yes.
So we're going to a wedding. So we obviously
get all dressed up nicely.
Get all dressed up, and then do you know what, mate? Just slowly getting back into things here, changing a few things around. You know, implementing a few new things, and you know, mate. Honest to God, Mike, I know this, and I've told myself in the middle of this. I fucking promised myself this. I haven't promised anyone else. I will be a fucking UFC champion, and I will beat all the best in that middleweight division. And I'm fucking, just like I said on the mic in 2018 when I beat Wonderboy, I'm fucking coming for everyone, and I promise
well,
that.
Darren, I'll repeat publicly what I told you that night, because I did talk to you, and what I said, I stand by it. You're 28 years old. It took me to 38. You're in there with the best people. There's ups and downs. Look at the fight with Whittaker. If that doesn't give you confidence, and just know, just make some little incremental changes, and you don't give up. That's the hard part. Not fucking giving up, because getting back in there every time when people write you off and people talk shit, but you got a good team around you. You got people that care about you, people that believe in you and know what you're capable of. So fuck everyone else. Can't wait for the comeback.
Yeah,
thank you, Darren. As always, I'm proud to call you a friend. Enjoy your weekend. Same. Enjoy the wedding, and we'll talk soon, mate.
You know I'll be FaceTiming you tomorrow as well.
I know, you prick. Take it easy, mate. Bye, guys. Yeah. Thanks for your time, Darren. Appreciate you, mate. All right, and there he is, the great Darren Till. That was nice. That was nice of him to join us there and give up some time, because I wanted to talk to him a while ago. But of course, as a fighter, when you lose a fight like that, and Darren, you know, he's had some tough results lately, shall we say, you know, and I know how depressed he was after that. So I wanted to be respectful and not bother him and say, hey, Darren, jump on and all the rest of it. But I thought, fucking 3 months, bro. 3 months is enough time. Now you got to come out the woodwork and you got to talk about it.
Well, I mean, did you ever have a situation like that in your career ever, Michael, where, you know, you're at a crossroads and you take that time, right? You take he was really dropped off the radar. Like he said, for 3 months, stayed in Vegas, stayed away from his kids, really got his mind right. That to me feels like we're about to see a new Darren Till the next time he enters the octagon.
Yeah, well, listen, I mean, the Brunson loss was really tough. You know, it didn't go his way. He got finished and, you know, he got beat. He got beat. But that's the way it goes sometimes. And certainly when you're coming off losses as well, right, you go in there with a heightened level of anxiety, right? We're all nervous as fighters, you know, even Conor McGregor that pretends not to be. We're all fucking nervous. Otherwise, you're a liar or you're stupid. You know what I mean? Because this is the big field. This is the big game. You know what I mean? You're going in there with the best people in the world and anything can go wrong. And when you're going in there and let's say you've won your last five in a row, your confidence is sky high. When you've gone in there and you've had some patchy results recently, then that can affect your confidence. And I'm sure that parlayed into what went on that night as well. And he was man enough to say, listen, Derek beat me on the night and God bless him. And that's why people love Darren. To answer your question, I'm not sure. You know what I mean? Certainly, the main thing is not giving up. You know, as I said, the book, Quitters Never Win, but it's so true because the mind controls everything. And he should take a lot of stock in the fact that he has been so competitive with the best people in the world. And look at that, jumping him in against Jared Cannonier. And we're not all here to suck Darren's dick all day long, but you got to fucking respect that. To be on the run that he is and then say, you know what, give me the next guy, the potential number one contender, the guy that just beat Kelvin Gastelum. I mean, that speaks volumes about Darren's... you know, about the kind of fighter that he is.
Well, yeah, I mean, especially a guy like that who's had nothing but main events, I think with literally one exception dating back to like 2017. The guy is a bona fide star. Every time he fights, it's a big deal, and that certainly does carry a certain level of pressure with it. So I'm really just trying to pick up on like that concept of taking the 3 months to yourself and be like, all right, I need to like mentally reset before going back into this. That just feels like a really powerful move by him.
Well, it's hard because when you lose... Right. There's a lot of emotions, you know what I mean? And I remember, so I guess my biggest loss, if you will, was when I lost to Dan Henderson at UFC 100. That was the most impactful, shall we say. You know, I had losses that were bad for my career and things like that. But when I lost at UFC 100, I was younger. It was my first time I'd been finished. I'd been knocked out on the biggest card of all time. Everybody laughed at me, you know what I mean? And they were the memes and the shit that I used to get on a daily basis all the time was out of control. And you put a brave front on it and you pretend it doesn't bother you. You know, and you laugh and you shake it off. That's why I was talking to Aljamain Sterling last week at the Apex. It's on my YouTube channel. And I asked him, because he's getting a lot of shit off people, you know, because of the whole Piotr Jan thing and him being the champ and they feel he doesn't deserve it. And yes, we pretend it's like water off a duck's back. But eventually it breaks through. It does permeate. It gets through that shell, that armor that we have. Do you know what I mean? Because we are just fucking human beings. You know what I mean? And I remember with that, the Dan Henderson one, when I got beat there and I went back to Clitheroe, which is in the middle of nowhere, so no one's bothering me there, but still social media and the internet's a fucking thing, so you're still seeing the shit and the people laughing at you at your expense and the gifts all the time. And I was watching one of the Rocky movies, you know, and I know people think they're cheesy, but Sylvester Stallone portrays the emotions that fighters go through in that so well. And I remember one day I was watching Rocky. I was in bed. My wife was downstairs and I just burst out in tears. I just fucking started crying my eyes out. My wife came running upstairs. She's like, Michael, what's going on? But it's because I'd bottled it all up inside. You know what I mean? I hadn't let on. Even when I got knocked out and I came back to my hotel room from the hospital, when I walked in, there's like 20 people in my hotel room waiting for me, friends, family, my dad, my sister, my brother. They'd all flown in for the fight. So I walk in. They all give me the most condescending round of applause I've ever felt in my life. But what I mean, the point is, I never had time to process it. And then we went out on the piss. And then we're coming back. And by now, it's a few days past. You know what I mean? So now I can't wallow in my self-pity. But you've still got that grieving process for what it means. Now, of course, for people that are going through real things that you can grieve about, the lost ones, tragedy, things like that, that's a different kettle of fish. But still, we put so much time and effort and energy and mental space, and we put our entire lives into this, that when you do hit a setback, it is hard to deal with. You know what I mean? And I guess you could say your mental health or whatever, but it kind of is affected. And that was one of the times I broke down and I don't know, fucking Rocky got me all emotional, the prick. But for Darren, he took some time to himself. I think that was great to reevaluate where he's at, get some training, stay away from everyone, bury his head in the sand, get some treatment on his injuries, work with the PI, you know, get a different look with some coaches. I thought that was a great thing to do.
Yeah, and you know, now targeting I think Jared Cannonier is number two in the division, if I'm not mistaken, number two or number three. So, yeah, I mean, certainly still in the mix and right there for a title shot off of just one win for Darren Till.
I don't think he should do that, though. I told him recently, I think he couldn't beat Jared Cannonier. I think it'd be a fantastic fight. But if I was managing Darren, and I'm not, and I hope he doesn't get offended by me saying this, and and I'm sure he won't. But I'd step back a little bit and say, all right, okay, you're only 28 years old. You don't have to go in against the best every single time. Step back a little bit. Have a rebuilding process. Work on some skills. Go back and then get someone a little lower down in the rankings. You know what I mean? Knock a couple of fucking people out. Get your mojo back. Get on a win streak and then take on the top contenders. That's how I would, if I was managing him, handle that situation. But of course, as fighters, we're our own worst enemy because we're like, nah, fuck that. I ain't doing that. Give me the number one guy right now. But that's why people respect fighters, because that's the mindset that they have.
Well, like, it's super interesting too, because if everything does go to plan, right, goes in there, beats Jared Cannonier, then goes in there, beats Israel Adesanya or Robert Whittaker, whoever wins that fight, right? Like, that is the plan, right? If that happens, now you have to fight the number one guy every single time, because that's your burden as a champion, right? So it's like,
yeah,
take this time now while you are still 28. That does make a ton of sense to me, and evolve into the kind of fighter where you're ready to go on that run deep into your 30s.
Well, you're absolutely right, because for Israel Adesanya, right, he's defending the belt. And Israel's a tremendous champion, by the way. I've got endless respect for him. I'm a big fan of the guy. He's fighting the number one contenders. That's the hard part about being the champion. But he also gets the credit and the money and the fame and a huge amount of fucking cash every time he wins. Number one, he's on a great contract. He'll get a percentage of the pay-per-view, and rightly so, because he's fighting the best people in the world. Darren essentially is fighting the best people in the world without a belt around his waist. You know, that's what he's been doing. He's been fighting, you know, Jared Cannonier, fucking Robert Whittaker, Kelvin Gastelum, fucking Derek Brunson. All right, he's not in the but he's actually on a 4-5 fight win streak. He was going to fight Marvin Vettori before he hurt his collarbone. Do you see what I'm saying? He's fighting the best guys one after the other, but with a belt around his waist. And that's why you got to respect him, and that's what you got to do. But anyway, I'm sure I speak for everybody, all the believers and all the MMA community, when we all say we can't wait to see Darren getting back in there again. And we appreciate your time, Darren. Thanks again, mate. Enjoy the wedding. Today, we are welcoming back IPVanish VPN to the show. You know the deal. IPVanish has been a longtime sponsor of ours, so it's so great to have them back. And let me tell you about IPVanish. If you care about the security of your online activity, and you really should, the easiest way to protect yourself is with IPVanish VPN. Rated 4 out of 5 stars on Trustpilot, IPVanish provides an encrypted connection for all of your internet traffic, helping to prevent websites, Wi-Fi providers, or even hackers from intercepting your data. You know, we're talking all your financial details, personal information, online activity is completely safe from threats with IPVanish, okay? You're not going to get hacked. You're not going to have people logging into your bank account, people hacking your Instagram, your social media and all that stuff, and changing your passwords and blackmailing you. Believe me, that stuff goes on, okay? IPVanish eradicates all of that. And also, if you're in other countries, you can maybe access certain pornographic websites. What do I know? But still, get started. If you're in Abu Dhabi, trust me, it's going to come in handy. Get started with this limited time offer and save 50% off your monthly and annual subscriptions by going to IPVanish.com/believe. 50% off, ladies and gentlemen. One more time, that is IPVanish.com/believe. And that's all lowercase, by the way. Okay.
All right. If you are listening to this on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you find podcasts, make sure you hit that subscribe button. If you're watching on YouTube, hit subscribe there. Make sure you turn on the notifications bell so you know whenever we drop a new episode. Like and comment if you feel like it. Also, if you enjoy this episode and hate these pesky ads, head on over to GasDigitalNetwork.com. Use the promo code BYM. Get yourself a 7-day free trial and check out all the awesome shows on the network.
Yes, do that. Remember, tell your friends about the podcast. We're going to continue to grow this bad boy. Don't you worry about that. We're going nowhere. You know what? Also, seeing as we're plugging stuff, I got a new movie out, Never Back Down Revolt, available on digital download. And in fact, that's why I can't go with my family right now, because my family fly to England literally in about 45 minutes. And I was supposed to go with them. Of course, that's the whole idea. Family trip. Lose the vape pen. Lose the vape. We've got to talk about this.
Not a vape.
Whatever it is, I don't want to see it. People in the comments giving shit about the camera as well, saying, I need to buy you a camera. No. Gas Digital Studios need to buy better cameras. Stop. We're continuing. We're moving past. And the vapes, people didn't like that either, Harrington. We're gonna listen to these people. But still, they called me because they're having a little screener premiere for the new movie. And they called and said, Mike, we want to organize it at your convenience. You know, what have you got on? We know you're a busy man. And I forgot about the trip to fucking England, didn't I? So they've scheduled it for Friday. They leave today. It's tomorrow night. I call back. I'm like, oh, shit, I can't make it. They're like, Mike, we did it at your convenience. I'm like, no, I know you did. And then now, because of COVID and all the restrictions with the airlines and flights being cancelled, couldn't change the flight. So they're leaving without me. But I'll be back. I'll be back in England on Sunday. We're going to do a show from England. I know we just announced two shows per week, but because I'm in England, I'm only going to get one in next week. I apologize. I got 1 week. I'm going to go see my old mom. I haven't seen her forever. I've got a lot of stuff to do. I'm also DJing a couple of places. So it's going to be a crazy week, but I'm still going to get one in. But then when I get back after next week, it'll be 2 weeks, two shows a week, guaranteed going forward. Now, this weekend, we got some fights on. Who we got, Harrington?
Well, we have, first and foremost, I just want to touch on this for the main event. Friend of the show, Davey Grant. Returning action for the first time since Cheeto, correct?
Yeah. No, I love Davey. Come on, what a great guy Davey is. And funnily enough, I've bumped into him a few times in Vegas because we all stay at the same hotel. The UFC kind of book out the hotel and have everyone stay in there and all the staff and the commentators. And across the street from there, there's a few little restaurants that I like to frequent. There's an all-you-can-eat sushi place, which is actually great. I would have thought all-you-can-eat sushi would be awful. But this place is fucking awesome. Then next week, you got a really great Thai. Then you got Syndicate MMA right there. So you're getting all. So I go in there and I keep seeing Davey because he's been out there for a while. And yeah, Davey's awesome, man. Tough fight against Adrian Yanez. Yanez is good, you know. I'm not calling the fight, but I'm not going to make a prediction. I mean, I wish Davey the best. I hope he gets it done. I just realized that it's a tough, tough fight. And that last fight, by the way, with Davey, Marlon Vera, that show about Cheeto's made, sorry, what Davey's made of.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking incredible, sensational fight. Can't wait for it.
Yeah, I mean, certainly walked away from that with a ton of respect for both men. I mean, Davey was pouring it on there at one point. You know, Cheeto just had one hell of a chin. We got 1, 2, 3 wins in a row for Adrian in the UFC, and then, you know, the win off the Contender Series to get him there. So certainly.
They're all knockouts, though. That right hand of Adrian Yanez is unreal. That's what Davey's got to watch for because it's so fast and so precise. And when he hits the target, a lot of time people fall. So hands up, chin down, Davey. Wish you all the best in Adrian Yanez, of course. May the best man win. Looking forward to that one.
All right. Main event, Miesha Tate taking on Ketlin Vieira. Miesha Tate says that, you know, she had the win against Marion Renault. This win will get her into the top five. She said if she puts on a dominant performance, she believes she is the next logical opponent for Amanda Nunes. She thinks this enters her into a title conversation and that she has the best resume.
Yeah. I saw that quote and I was scratching my head a little bit. But then actually, if you analyze a little further, maybe she's not a million miles away because she's been away for a few years. I think it was 2016 she retired. So she's been away for 5 years. She comes back, she beats Marion Renault in her last fight ever. You know, Marion, you know, not one of the top contenders, but still she got the win. I believe it was a TKO, round three, or a submission, TKO.
Yep, elbows in the third round.
Yeah, there you go. You know, so she got a good win over a good opponent, but that doesn't necessarily put you in line for a title shot if you win one more. However, with her resume, being a former champion, being a legend of the sport, and then Ketlin Vieira, what is she ranked? Because I believe she's kind of highly ranked as well. So if she does beat Ketlin, then that statement that she made, when you consider all the factors that I just said, doesn't sound quite so outlandish.
No, not at all. Vieira is currently ranked number 7. Her last fight, a loss to Yana Kuniskaya. But yeah, I mean, this would be two wins against ranked opponents in Miesha's return. And when she left, she was only one fight removed from owning that title and losing it to Amanda Nunes.
Yeah, fair enough. I just stylistically for this, for Miesha to win this fight, she's got to take down Ketlin Vieira. And I will say this, Yana Kuniskaya, she was able to take down Ketlin, if I'm not mistaken, held her down for the majority of the fight, did not much ground upon. Am I correct? Am I remembering that rightly? Because I see a weird look on your face, a befuddled look as if to say, no, Michael, you're confused. Speak now or forever hold your peace.
So here's the thing. That's how I remembered it on the night. But when I went back and I looked on the UFC stats site, it says that Ketlin landed 3 takedowns in the fight, but only landed 7 strikes. So if I'm not mistaken, I think that fight was a lot of Ketlin like getting the takedowns and doing absolutely nothing with them. Yana popping back up and then, you know, just reversing position.
So if I remember rightly, she kept reversing position, and it wasn't one of those fights that, with respect, that you want to go back and watch. If I remember rightly, there wasn't a lot of action. It's just, no, but you know, not every fight's going to be a barn burner. Not every fight's going to be an instant classic. That's just the way it is. That's not being disrespectful to anybody. It's just like that matchup, the way it played out, the way they chose to use their skill sets didn't result in the most action-packed evening. You know what I mean? That doesn't mean that they can't fight again and have a great fucking fight, because of course it does. It just means that night, that's how that played out.
Well, that's super interesting to me, thinking about this fight now, because if Ketlin is in a position, she's coming into this with a 92% takedown defense, but you are right. Yana did hold a lot of control time in that bout. So could we be in a situation where, you know, if Misha, even if she does fail to get the takedowns herself, if they find themselves on the ground, her superior jiu-jitsu and wrestling would find her getting top position and then hunting submissions?
Well, that's the way that Misha's going to have to win this fight, because I'm telling you right now, Ketlin Vieira, when I watch her box, she can fucking box really, really good. She's got good power. She's tall. She's long for the division. I'm assuming she's got a height and reach advantage on Misha. She's got the momentum, if you will. She's been around the not around the sport longer, but she's been active a lot more recently. Of course, Misha took 5 years away. Ketlin Vieira is dangerous on the feet. She's really dangerous. So I believe this is kind of like, it's pretty simple. You know, it's not as simple to carry out. But for Misha to win this fight, I honestly believe she's got to get it down. And if she gets it down, she's better. Simple as that. We might even see a submission from Misha. And the flip side for Ketlin Vieira. If Ketlin can stay on the feet, if she can dance around the octagon, she can use her length, slow down Misha's advances in terms of the takedowns, and then go to work with the striking, I believe she can get a finish as well. You know, so it's an interesting fight. I'm going to put my money on Ketlin Vieira. Friend of the show, Misha Tate, of course, love Misha. She's a legend of the sport, but I've just always been really impressed with Ketlin Vieira. I must admit, I maybe I'm a little biased there. Like, I remember one time I was watching one of her fights. I forget who it was. I was like, holy shit, this lady's amazing. She's got really, really good boxing. And then is it Sabina Mazo? That's her training partner. Who's the really good boxer? I forget her name. Little cute thing. What's her name? She's Mexican. Oh, she trains with Ketlin Vieira, not Sabina Mazo. Whatever. She's got good fucking training partners. That's what I'm trying to say. Either way, enjoy the fights. I'll be in England. Problem is with being in England for the UFC now is that I'm spoiled. I'm used to seeing it at a regular time. I'm used to seeing it at maybe 10 o'clock in the goddamn morning. I'm definitely used to seeing it when I'm sat on my couch at 6 p.m. with a beer in my hand ordering a takeaway. In England, it's 5, 6 o'clock in the morning, which I'm not looking forward to that. But still, all right, listen. We got a lot of questions, I believe. Brian and Harrington say we have a lot of questions. So should we have a go? We'll get through some of these.
Sure. I got a question here from a Mr. Austin Banks.
Austin Banks looking like, I don't know. Just go ahead.
Hey there. Shout out to the BYM boys. This is Austin from North Carolina. Got a couple questions for you. First one, Michael. From what I understand, you were just recently thrown off an airplane for complimenting a man's attire. Was that the first time you've ever been thrown off an airplane? And if not, can you please give us a juicy story of another time where you have been thrown off an airplane? Also, for Brian and Harrington, between the two of you, a sword fight to the death, who wins and how? Thanks, guys, so much. Keep it up.
Well, thank you for the question. We appreciate that. Brian and Harrington, sword fight to the death, who wins and how? Go. Dude,
definitely Brian.
I got the reach.
Yeah, I'm too clumsy for swords. There's no way. I die immediately.
I'm happy to hear that because, you know, with the hand wrap story, with the walking around with the belts, with the little bit of training that you're doing, I'm like, Harrington needs a reality check. So that's good to see. You know what? Funnily enough, I had a phone call from Southwest Airlines right before this show started because I did obviously put in a complaint. It took me almost 2 hours on hold. But they called me up today and they profusely apologized. They offered me some credit, you know, some travel credit and things like that. And I said, look, listen, the main thing is, I just want to know that this guy's being held accountable, that there's some form of disciplinary action being taken, because the reality is It happened to me. It's happening to other people, you know, and it's fucking bullshit. You can't flaunt your little bit of authority and power that you have like that. I swear to God, I swear, I literally just went, oh, yeah, nice shades. I like the way they're on top of your head. Just like our guy that sent in the questions, like the way that your shades, multiple shades were on top of your fucking head. But still, I just said, let me know. I just want to know what disciplinary action takes place. Have I ever been thrown off a plane? Well, I've told this story. I haven't been thrown off a plane, but I was refused access back onto it one more time. It was years ago when I went down to Brazil for the Vitor Belfort press conference, right? We were flying back. I had a beautiful business class seat. It was a lie-flat bed. I'm sitting there. I'm having a little glass of champagne. I've got a little something that I've taken that's got me nice and relaxed. I've got my big noise-canceling headphones on, and I'm watching a movie. I'm having a great time, but the plane's not taking off. And we've been on the runway for about 2 hours, but as I say, I'm comfortable. I'm drinking champagne, whatever. And all hell's breaking loose back in the economy, though, because everyone's getting pissed off and they're giving shit to the air stewards and whatnot. And I got, excuse me, could I get another glass of champagne, please? And she was like, sir, we have more important things. Anyway, she had a real go at me, right? So as I got off the plane, and then eventually we all had to deboard the plane. Apparently there was an exit sign that are above the toilets that wasn't there, and you can't fly without it. Somehow an exit sign disappeared. So anyway, as we're all getting off the plane, I just said to her, I said, excuse me, miss. I said, I can't believe how you spoke to me like that. You shouted at me in front of everyone. Absolutely no need. You know, that's unbelievable. And just being a little dickhead, I said, so what's your name? You know, as if I'm going to put a complaint in. I never do. I never follow through with anything. And she covered up a name tag. I said, you can't. And I don't know what you're thinking. I did follow up with Southwest, but of course, fuck that. But generally, I wouldn't do. And she covered up a name tag. I said, you can't do that. What are you doing covering up your name tag? And then like a little assistant came up, right, what's going on here? And I said, well, she won't give me her name. I'm trying to complain because she was extremely rude. And I said, and he covered up his before I said it. And I said, what are you doing? You can't cover up yours as well. Is this how you represent an international airline? So anyway, we all get off the plane. And I've told this story before, so anyone that's heard it, I apologize. But it was a long time ago with Lewis. So we wait for about 3 hours at the gate. And then eventually we're getting on the plane again. So and now it's like the middle of the night. It's like 3 o'clock in the morning. Everyone's irate. Everyone's angry, pissed off, tired, all the rest of it. And we got to board and we're waiting in line at the gate. And I just get, can Michael Bisping please report to the gate? I'm like, oh, that sounds weird. And I go up and they tell me, you're not going to be boarding this plane because the air hostess does not feel comfortable having you on. I'm like, what? What are you talking about? So I'm trying to be nice. And then this Brazilian man that saw everything, he came over. He's like, I saw the whole thing. This man did nothing. And they're like, well, it doesn't matter. The air hostess has that authority. If she says you don't want you on, then you're not getting on. And then the guy, smart guy, the Brazilian dude, he goes, well, hold on a minute. We have been delayed now for about 4 or 5 hours. Okay. And you cannot legally fly and take his bags without taking the bags off. And we have been waiting so long. I refuse to wait any longer. And I thought, wow, this guy's a fucking genius. Right. And he said, oh, don't worry about that, sir. We've already removed his bags. And then I was fucking fuming. When I saw the plane take off, I was like, what the fuck? And I might have lost my shit a little bit in Brazil.
So I thought he was going to say flight crews because, like, flight crews need to change over at a certain amount of time. So I thought you were going to say he was going to hold them up for, like, another 20 minutes so that that crew couldn't make the trip back.
Yeah, yeah. No. So anyway, so then I was stuck in an airport in Sao Paulo for about 12 hours. Because I don't speak fucking Portuguese. By the end of it, I could not wait to get out of that country. Beautiful place, though. But you know what I mean? When you're hanging around the airports for that long, you get annoyed.
You should have faced Antonato. He would have, you know, taken care of you.
He would have taken care of me. All right. Today's episode is brought to you by BlueChew.com. Say it with us, Blue Chew. Blue Chew is making waves and bringing more confidence to the bedroom by offering chewable tablets that can help men get stronger and longer lasting erections. Listen, this is not for erectile dysfunction. This is a performance enhancement. Just think about if your bedroom game was a USADA version of Vitor Belfort, okay? Now, with Blue Chew, you can become a 2011 pre-USADA head-kicking, wheel-kicking, Luke Rockhold knocking out, Michael Bisping dropping, Vitor Belfort prior USADA. That would be your bedroom game. Harrington, I see you smiling at that one.
I mean, look, yo, just be an absolute beast in the bedroom. I don't think it's, people get mistaken when it comes to this, right? So it's not like this isn't necessarily for erectile dysfunction. If you just want to go a couple extra rounds, please your partner. Who's got it in them to go after one in this day and age? Who has the time? Well, with Blue Chew, I guarantee you're going to make the time. They're an online prescription service, so there's no visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, no waiting line in the pharmacy, and it ships right to your door in discreet packaging.
Yeah, exactly. Made inside the USA. No awkward conversation. That is the best part. And of course, we've got a great code for you. Go to bluechew.com and use the code BELIEVE. You're going to get your first month for free. So listen, come on. Who doesn't want a little enhancement? Who doesn't want to step the game up? Who doesn't want to blow the socks off your partner? Give it a shot. You won't be disappointed. People love this product. Bluechew.com is the website. BELIEVE is the code. You get your first month for free. You just pay $5 shipping. Pardon me. Bluechew.com. Check it out. All right. Where were we? What else we got, Brian?
We got a question here from a Mr. Benny Summers.
Oh, Benny.
More questions about your, hatred.
Oh, God. Not the airline again. Listen, I said the
piece.
Hey,
Benny Summers here. Calling in from Wisconsin, the Northwoods.
Ooh.
Anyway, thanks for taking my question.
I like those
shades. Question's a two-parter for the count. First off, what do you think it is about Oakley's that intimidates you so? What unmans you about a nice pair of shades, Bisping? And secondly, when will you learn that your actions have consequences?
Well.
Anyway, that's all for me. Benny Summers out.
Benny Summers! There we go, there we go. Do you know what? Benny speaks like my dad, right? Do you know sometimes... You know, when somebody talks and they take a lot of pauses and you want to finish their fucking sentences so bad. Do you know what I mean? My dad talks really slow and he takes like little intermittent breaks in between stringing the words together. And you know what's coming and you're just like, oh, fucking hell, dad, just get to the point. Like my older brother Conrad, he's got a terrible stutter, right? Like a really, really bad stutter, bless him, which, got worse when he had a pickaxe stuck in his head serving for the army. But again, sometimes you want to finish his words for him, but that's very different. He's like, just fucking say it, comrade. Come on, hurry up. I don't want to be rude.
I'd assume he'd welcome that versus, you're explaining why Brian and I nearly fist fight once a week.
Yeah, yeah. So what was his question? When will I learn? What was that it, essentially?
Yeah.
What offends me or intimidates me about a pair of Oakleys? Yeah. No, I like it. I like it.
I hope that they give that guy a severance package that includes a gift card to Sunglass Hut.
I don't want anyone to get fired because I said I want disciplinary action taken. I just don't want anyone else to get thrown off a flight for no reason. But still, there we go. There we go. We got any more, Brian, before we get on the way?
All right. We got one here from a Mr. Hayden Luz, and it's a little bit more MMA-centric.
Oh, there we go. A proper question. And thank you, Hayden. We appreciate you. Hold on, pause it 1 second. And we appreciate all you guys sending in the video questions. Keep the video questions coming because it's a big part of the show at the end. It allows you to get interactive. We like to see the fan base. So bympod@gmail.com. The funnier, the better. The more sillier, the better. Get creative. Have a laugh. And Brantendo, he sent in a question years ago, and now he works with me as a YouTube producer. You never know where this crazy world might take you. But Hayden, what have we got, buddy?
Nice sweatshirt, by the way.
My name's Hayden Luz. I'm from a small city in Massachusetts. I'm a big fan of the show, as you can see. And I just had a question you guys could potentially discuss on the show. So after the flyweight title bout in January, who do you think is next? In my opinion, I think it's going to be Askar Askarov. He's undefeated in the division. He's beating guys like Pantoja and Joey B. So I really don't think there's another logical fighter that could be next. Thanks for your time.
Well, Hayden, that's a really good question. And obviously you do follow the UFC very closely because you're asking about the flyweights. You know what I mean? Which is like the least star-studded division. So hence, yeah. I'm looking up the rankings as we speak because I don't have that information completely.
And it's not even a question about the title. It's a question about the number one contender in the number 19th division.
Yeah, no, but God bless him, though, because that's what we need. Because the flyweights do deserve... Ah, my phone isn't working. The flyweights deserve the attention, you know what I mean? Because they are fantastic. And what's his face? God, Brandon Moreno. I mean, he's just sensational. Has he had the rematch yet with
I believe it was supposed to be last month. They got moved to 269 instead. So that's coming up next month, I believe.
UFC rankings. I could be wrong Wikipedia. About that. I can't find the UFC bloody rankings. Askar Askarov was his suggestion. Can you bring up the rankings on screen if you can, please, Brian? My phone's being a bit weird. I think it might have got a little wet. It's starting to pop and make weird noises and shit like that just as I'm about to go to England. Go on.
So I was mistaken. It's UFC 270 is where that trilogy fight is happening. It was supposed to be next month. It got moved to January instead.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So it's in January in Anaheim, my neck of the woods. I'm looking forward to that one. Of course, in the second one, Brandon Moreno dominated it, you know. But Davison Figueiredo's a tough guy. Don't expect that to happen the third time, but still, you never know. And Askar Askarov, he is right there. Thing is, there is so much potential there with these guys. Let's have a look. Who we got?
So
Brandon Moreno, Figueiredo, Askar Askarov. I mean, he makes sense because he's number three. Pantoja, Alex Perez, Brandon Royval, he's fucking good. Yeah, Kai Kara France, he's in action soon. Rogerio Bontarin, there we go. I mean, fill your boots. But yeah, I'm with my man who said in the video, remember, bympod@gmail.com. But yeah, Askar Askarov, he's definitely the next in line.
Yeah, the first name that sprung to my mind when he was saying the question was Pantoja, and then he brought it up. He's like, but Askarov beat him. I was like, oh yeah, I forgot about that. Askarov, yeah. For sure.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. All right, guys. Well, listen, my family leave for the airport pretty soon, so I'm going to try and spend a little bit of time with them before I go. Secondly, I'm also intermittent fasting, so I'm starving. My stomach is rumbling like a motherfucker. I'm going to be in England. I'm very excited to be back, and I'm very excited that we're still doing the Believe You Me podcast. Thank you all for tuning in. Thank you for watching. Thank you for supporting our little show, and we're going to continue to grow and go from strength to strength. Remember, bympod@gmail.com, send in those video questions, bymmerch.com,
it's bymmerch.com. Yeah,
bymmerch.com. yeah, if you want to get some stuff, some swag like he had. New designs coming out real soon, bymmerch.com. and yeah, enjoy your weekends, enjoy the fight, stay safe. Have a good time. Harrington, anything to say to sign off with?
Just honor and privilege as always, Mike. So much fun.
Pleasure.
Enjoy England, dude.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Guys, take care. All the best.